This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Yeah, the day is a day for clapping, so it's good that you guys are here and we're celebrating. Hey, as we get a chance, I don't think she's in the room, but you may have noticed that Grace was here today if you weren't here at the very beginning. Grace is from Revo Church. It's a great multi-site church here in our area. And this week, Carson got COVID. He is out today with COVID. So last minute, God did some amazing things. And you need to ask Grace, like, what did he do to bring her here? Because it's just a great God story today. And so she's leading us today. So she's not in the room. Let's give her a clap, too, just of appreciation. And when you see her after the service, just thank her. Just admit, oh, she is in the service. I'm sorry. I didn't even see you. She's hiding back there in the sound booth. Though. Very good. We're just so appreciative of how God works these things out. Carson's getting better, and it's going to be great to have him back next week. But God is just good. Today, we want to welcome you as part of Bridges Celebration Service. If you have your phone and you get the QR code, you know the drill. Go ahead and open up. We do have sermon notes today. You want to maybe follow along with the outline, so you can grab that. This is week two in our series, so we want to just get you started on a good way today. So go ahead and pull that up. There's announcements there, things that you can find. So we're not going to make a lot of announcements today. Just that one, get the QR code and find the announcements. But the other thing we do want to announce is we did wrap up Multiply. We're going to talk about that for a second, and we want to give you the totals today, kind of walk you through how that looks and what it's about. And celebrate that today. So I think we have the total. So I'm going to walk you through how this has worked over the last 4 years. So first of all, we started this in 2019. We started by giving $5,000 out to the church, if you were here. And we started on this new adventure saying we want to bless the community. We want to do something, give you a chance to move by faith, come up with some ways that God's speaking through you, and then take the money, multiply it, let God work through you, and then bring it back at the end of the time. And then that money goes to our nonprofit, Bridging the Gap, to bless the community. So in 2019, we had gave out $5,000, and then we left it in there. And that year, we got $24,812, okay? Now, in the next year, we changed the way we did it, so just so you know, the next year, we took $5,000 seed money, put it in, and then we said we're going to keep that as seed money for the next few years. So the next year is going to be without the $5,000, okay, if that makes sense. So year two, we gave $5,000 out, got it back, and we God brought in $16,000. That was huge, okay? So that was year two. Year three, we did something different because we're always doing something different. Gave out the $5,000, took it back out, and then we left it open. So we have a start date, end date, and we said just let the rest of it run through the year. And at the end of Multiply that year, I don't remember the numbers, but it was good. But then $30,000 total came in for the whole year. All right, so we changed the way we did it. We're going to change the way we do it from now on. So now we're going to announce today's, and I want to explain that. So today, this is what we just did for Multiply 4.0, which is this year, 2022. We gave out $5,000, and it looks kind of low, but it's $12,449. But let's give God glory for that. That's huge. So that's the $5,000 out, but we're going to leave it open for the rest of the year and see what God does with that. And it's already, I want to tell you, that's the money that came through Multiply, but during it, God is doing some new things. And so as we added this Learning Center, which we're going to launch here soon, and we'll make some announcements about that, a local church, River Oaks, heard about it. I met with their missions team, and they donated $2,000 already. So you can kind of add that in there, but it goes directly to the Learning Center. So let's give God credit for that, too. Huge. But I think over time, and what we're going to talk about today is celebration, over time, you look at what is God doing. So when you put those 4 years together, I just want you to look at that. Initial $5,000, go multiply it, and this is what God has brought in, $84,349. Isn't that huge? That's 17 times. 17 times the initial $5,000 investment, and God just keeps blessing, and it's coming in from different ways, and we just celebrate all the different things that people did. But one of the things I loved about what happened is you worked as community this year, and you really stressed community. You did things together, and you built relationships, and you built communities, and just said, we're going to do this together and see what God does. So maybe that triggers you want to do something from here on, but make sure you do this. Get together with other people that you want to walk with, Christ is the center, and let's do something together, because that was what really impacted my life, was the groups that I got a chance to participate with and see God at work. So just huge celebration for that. We're doing this series, three-week series, called Celebration for a Purpose. After 3 years of COVID, right, and we're still dealing with Carson being out, we have some other people have been sick too, and just the way life is gone, some of you have been through some tough stuff. And we looked at that and go, okay, even in the midst of all the stuff going on, can we not still celebrate the goodness of God? Shouldn't we just stop and say, God is still at work. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't gone away. He hasn't gone anywhere else. He's still at work. He's still at work in our lives. He is still faithful. So let's celebrate that. So for these 3 weeks, we are celebrating. Last week, we talked about generosity, how we celebrate through generosity. And we just saw the results of God's generosity through you over the last 4 years. And that's huge. Next week, we turn 15. And it's just amazing to me. I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, it can't be that long. And then another person said, is that all it's been? So, you know, different perspectives. But next week is our 15th anniversary. So what we're going to do is we're going to party next week. We're going to party in the first service. That's you guys, all right? Then we're going to ask you to stay. And we're going to have some food, and we're just going to have that around so you can meet the second hour people if you haven't already. We're inviting people back that have maybe been part of Bridges in the community. We're going to have some videos of people who have been part of the community and welcome them as well. So invite people. If you know anybody that's been part of the Bridges community, next week we're going to celebrate, okay, and just what God has done and who he is and what he's about. Today, we want to celebrate kind of in a different way. We already have. We're going to keep going. We want to talk about celebration as worship. We want to celebrate God today, and we want to do that every single week. Our key verse is Psalm 118, verse 27, for this series. And this is the CEV version. It's a little different maybe than what you're used to, and this is what it says. The Lord, and when it's capitalized, it means Yahweh. Yahweh is our God. The great I am is our God, and he has given us light in the darkness, right? He is light. And so it says, start the celebration. And we want every week to be a celebration of who God is and what he's about. And we talk about worship, right? We talk about worship a lot here, and sometimes we say, we just did the worship, now we got to put it with Patrick when he's preaching, right? There's two separate things. But I want you to begin seeing worship in a whole different light. Worship is not just singing. That is a very important part. It's not just music. Music expresses it in a wonderful way, right? But worship's a lifestyle. Worship is who we are and what it's about. And here's my definition of worship. It's expressing our love and gratitude for who God is and what he's done. It's expressing our love and gratitude to God for who he is and what he has done. And worship can take on all kinds of light, right? I mean, if you think about it, you could be out in the woods and you can worship the creator behind the creation. You can see the beauty there and go, man, God is just amazing. You can worship God at home and you can just sit there and just think about what God's given you and just have a moment of worship. You can be at work, you can be at school, and you can just stop and you can worship. When God answers a prayer, you can worship him at that moment. You can also worship him when you're in a group. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings, right? We come together to worship our God together, to celebrate him, and to really dive into him. And we want to talk about that today. What does that look like? And I'm going to be honest with you. There are some Sundays I don't feel like worship, and I'm the pastor. Can I just tell you that? There's Sundays that my dog, he gets up at 3 a.m., and then he doesn't go back to sleep, and I don't go back to sleep. And I'm like coming in, I'm half asleep. Have you ever felt that way? And there's some weeks that it's just been hard. It's just been hard. And you come in and you're like, sleep in today. That would be nice. Or it would be nice sometimes just not to have worries or stress on. And you come in and you don't feel like it. And I feel like the same way. And then yet God always shows up. He always shows up. He always has an answer. He always has a moment. He always has a point. He always has a teaching. There's something that God does and he just shows up. And I always walk out a different person, always, through my whole life. And it's like this time where you go, okay, it's not about feelings. It's about a relationship with the God who created me, the God who created you. And we just come together for worship. Today, on the outline, we want to talk about what does it mean to worship as a celebration? How can worship really be a celebration when you come in? Because it doesn't have to be, right? It can be just something we do, but it can become a celebration, because here's the deal. Jesus came and he preached good news, the gospel. And when we come in, we should realize it's good news. It's not bad. It's good. And so we want to talk about, how do you celebrate the good news of the gospel that we have a Savior? So let's work through this. There's four ways today that we can make worship a celebration, how you can maybe prepare as you come in. Because one of the things we want to talk about today is, how do you prepare even before you walk in the door to be ready to celebrate Jesus? How can you, even while you're sitting here now, be willing and ready to celebrate Jesus? So here we go. First one, number one, how do you make worship a celebration? It can become a celebration when it's filled with gratitude. When it's filled with gratitude, when it's filled with thanksgiving, when we come in and we go, God, I'm just here to say thanks for who you are and what you've done. Our key verse was not only verse 27, which we looked at earlier, but here's the rest of it, verses 28 and 29. It says, The Lord is my God. It's one of those things, we have two screens. I found this the last couple of weeks. People are turning around and looking. There's two screens back there, okay? It's how we know what's coming next. So there's the wall down. The magic's gone. That's how we make things work, all right? So here's the verse. The Lord is my God. I will praise him and tell him how thankful I am. And then this one. Tell the Lord how thankful you are. Tell the Lord and tell the people how thankful you are, because he is kind and always merciful. People make a whole lifestyle out of looking at the negative. People make a lifestyle of being critical. People make a lifestyle of finding everything that's wrong. And because of the culture that we live in, it's easy to do that, isn't it? Go, here's all the things that are wrong in the world. Here's all the things that aren't working. Here's all the things in my life that aren't going exactly what I want them to be. The word repentance, at the heart of repentance is this changing of the mind. The original word is metanoia, change the way you think, change your mindset. And we look at that, we'll change the behavior, cut these bad things out, and we get that. But Jesus wants to do this work in us through the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to change the way you think about everything, including your own life. I want you to change the way you think about gratitude. See the things that God has done for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 is one of my favorite passages. And this is what he says, again, from the New Living. It says, always be joyful. I know it is rejoice always. Always be joyful. Is that true of you? Always be joyful. Even examine now, are you joyful? See, happiness is based on happening, circumstances. Joyful is this gift that God gives us that kind of bubbles up. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And it says, never stop praying. Be thankful in God, thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. There's a few passages in Scripture that say exactly what God's will is for you. And this is one of them. Wonder what God's will for your life is? Be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances, but in everything, find a reason to be thankful and see that. So even now, kind of think about your life and look back. What are you thankful for in your past? What has God done for you in your past? And then think about the present. What's he doing right now? And then think about the future with faith and be thankful in faith for things he hasn't even done yet. That's real faith, isn't it? God, thank you. You're going to work through this circumstance. I don't know how you're going to do it, but it's going to be cool because you are. And it's going to be good because you are. And begin seeing life with thanksgiving. In the book of Chronicles, the people got together and they wanted to worship. Now, last week we looked at how the Israelites came out of slavery and they wanted to give to the tabernacle, remember? And they gave all this stuff and they celebrated, and they had to stop them from giving because they had given too much already, said stop giving. Well, in this passage, they're going to build the temple. And they had a chance to give toward that. David wanted to build the temple. God says, no, your son's going to do it. And David says, at least I can give the stuff. And the people brought stuff after stuff after stuff. And it just overwhelmed David. And King David got up and he made this prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 13 through 14. He made this statement to God. He says, O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you And we give you only what you first gave us. It's a mindset to see the world that you live in and go, God, you've given me everything. You gave me my job. You gave me the brain that I use to think through the things that I face at my job. You gave me the ability to go to school. You gave me breath to breathe. You gave me the experiences I have. You gave me open doors to get here. The people I love, you've given them to me. The opportunities I've had to see your world, you've given me. Though everything I have is from you. See, when we're critical, when we're a little negative, we look at world like this. We have a table in front of us, right, in our minds. And on that table is everything we have and everything that we wish we had. And we look at the table in front of us, everything we have and everything that we wish that we had. And we focus on the things that we wish we would have had, and they're missing from the table. So therefore, I'm not happy with the table because I've got this stuff, which is good. I wanted this stuff, but I really wanted this stuff, and I don't have it yet. You put it on the end of the table. What is it you don't have yet that keeps you from being content or happy? That's one way to look at the world. The other world way to look at it, go, empty table. And then start putting on the table everything God's given you. Everything he's put in your life. Every person. Every joy. Every moment he's given you peace. Every answer to prayer. Begin putting that on the table. And don't worry about the stuff you don't have. Put on the table in your mind the things that God has given you. And stop and go, God, it's all from you. It's all from you, and I am thankful. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, great, great passage. Says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he's good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Has the Lord saved you from anything? Old Testament's like, save you from anything. Has he ever gotten you out of a problem? Were you lonely and he brought somebody into your life? Or is there a time that you just felt overwhelmed and he lifted the burden? Have you ever been sick and now you're better? Ever been through something like that? Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell him about it. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. And here's the deal. That's Old Testament. New Testament, we live on the other side of the cross. Has the Lord redeemed you? Have you been saved? Do you know your eternal security is there with Jesus Christ? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you received his mercy and his grace? Then you have a reason to celebrate, right? Today, if you know Jesus, you have every reason to celebrate because your future is secure in him and you see in him a savior. Worship can become a celebration when it begins with gratitude, with gratitude. Number two, worship can be a celebration. It can become a celebration when it is filled with reflection. When it's filled with reflection. Great word just means to remember something. Just think about something. Where are you from? What has God done? Think about your life. This passage, you have passages that stand out to a verse. There's a verse I come back constantly. It's in both Genesis and Hebrews. I'm going to use the one in Hebrews. It's the same, but I just like it from Hebrews because of the context. Hebrews chapter 11 is the history of faith, right? These people that had faith and they're commended for their faith. And there's this verse, it's kind of thrown in there. It's so different. It's verse 21 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. It's about worship, but it's so unusual. Like, he's not worshiping in a group like this. He's leaning on his staff at the end of his life and is reflecting back over his life. And as he reflects back over his life, he realizes how much God has done in his life, and so he worships. I think about Jacob for a second. You know his story from the Bible, right? Old Testament Jacob. He cheated his brother out of his inheritance. He cheated his dad. He ran away from home, and he went away and lived with his uncle who cheated him for years. He was a conniver. He was a cheater. He got there, and he learned what his life was like based on what his uncle was doing to him. He got married. He married the wrong person. God redeemed that. I hate to say wrong person, but it's not the person he wanted to marry. But then in those days, he could marry somebody else. So he had two sisters, which kind of must have created all kinds of tension in that house, right? But he had 12 sons, and then he got to go home. And when he got to go home, his brother welcomed him back. He raised his 12 sons. his favorite, which I don't recommend having a favorite when you have children, okay? And if you do, don't ever tell anybody that that's one's your favorite unless you tell all of them that. But he told one of them, this is my favorite. Joseph's my favorite. And then from Jacob's perspective, one day his other sons come home and say, he's killed. Here's his coat that you gave him, the special coat you gave to your special son, and he's dead. And in Jacob's mind, all he knows is Joseph is dead. And he's gone. Until years later, word comes back. He had sent his other sons down to Egypt to go get some grain because they're starving. And they come back and go, we got a story. And Joseph is alive. Now, if you have a child and you can think about they died in your mind and son, you had word, they're actually alive. And not only that, they're second command in Egypt. And not only that, they're going to save you because they have all the food that you need. And not only that, he has kids. And you suddenly realize that while you thought everything was terrible, God was working. And at that moment, he blessed his Joseph's sons, his grandsons, which he thought he'd never see. And he leans on his staff and he worships. Because he could reflect back and go, this is what God has done. I don't know how often you do that, but that should be something part of our lives, to go back and look, this is what God has done, and have things that remind you of that, and you can look back and go, God has been so good, and reflect and worship at that moment. I brought some things today. I'm an old teacher, right? So I have to use object lessons. So anyway, I brought some stuff in. Here's a staff. If you know me, I've got like 8 to 10 of these things at home, and this is the first one I got. This was given to me after we did the Peak to Peak hike, which some of you guys went on in here, 2011, it's been 11 years ago, where we hiked from Hanging Rock to Pilot, okay? There's some debate about how far it was. I thought it was over 20. I've been told it's like 17. The mileage doesn't matter, right? What we did is that year, we got a group of people, and we just walked, and we raised money for Bridging the Gap. It's where this kind of started. And when I see this one, and I've got one from every other hike we've ever done, every other money-raising kind of thing like that, I just reflect on who God is and what he's done. It's my worship before I go in the house, right? It's like, look at that. And remember what God has done. And God is so good. And we have pictures of that group, an amazing group. So I have that at home. And then I have a Roadrunner. I know you want to see all the stuff in my house, right? So this is a Roadrunner that I got after we went to Arizona on a missions trip. And we got to see our good friends, Robert and Liz Cruz, and In the Gap Ministry, where they're working on the Apache Reservation. And a Roadrunner ran across the street. This is not him. This is a wooden one, okay? We did not hit the Roadrunner. But I wanted something. When I looked at this, I see the work of God. Not only in my life, in the team's life, but I see it in what he's doing there with some incredibly wonderful, loving people. And so this is a reflection tool for me to go, oh, I remember when God did that and how he worked and what he's doing. And so you need to have stuff in your house as well. This next one I have up here is a picture from the day, which would be 15 years ago today, when we did a preview service. When we started, we did a preview service. We sat up in the movie theater just down the street where New Church is now. We set up and practice, right? And all of our friends, we invited all our friends and family to come to that service. Don't come to the first one. We don't know who's going to come. We don't want to fill the place up. And we want you to come because we're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we want you there. And at the end of the service, we took a picture of this is my family that came up for that day. And so that would be 15 years ago today, third Sunday of September. And it's just a reflection, right? I look back and go, man, our boys are in this. They're like so small, and they've grown so big, and God has worked in them. And my rest of my family's there, and we had other people come. And just look back. Look back and go, God, you're an amazing God, and I just want to worship you. What do you have? What stories do you have that you could tell and share with us about God's goodness in your life? And how does it help you worship? In Psalm 145, verses 6 and 7, it says this, to speaking to God, your all-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your goodness. And this is the part I want you to hang on to. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. Everyone means everyone. It's a type of worship. The goodness of God in your life. And they will sing with joy about your righteousness. What are your stories? What are the stories that you can reflect on and go, this is the goodness of God in my life, and I want to worship him? That's what worship is when it looks like a celebration. It is simply that. I'm reflecting out. When I sing the words, I am singing from a different place than you are. Same God, same Jesus, but I'm reflecting on my experiences with him, just as you're reflecting your experience with him and the emotion, the love, the gratitude that comes from that. That's what worship is when it's personal. So it's celebration when it's filled with reflection. Number three, worship is celebration when it's filled with joy. When it's filled with joy, right? Some of us are afraid of joy, right? What's joy going to do to me? I don't want any joy to come out of me. And I've been in churches like that. Maybe you have been too, where there's no joy. You ever been there? And we want, you know, I'm not here to bash other churches, but I've been there. You've been there where everybody sings to the book or sings to the floor, or if they sing at all or they look around, and it's like a performance. The people up there are doing it. I'm just here to enjoy. And one of the things I love about Bridges is you guys, when especially in this room, you can hear you guys singing. And when it gets quiet and you hear your voice, it's like, that is different when it's filled with joy. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? There's something about being with people that are filled with joy. Look at this command from the Lord, Psalm 100, verse 2. Worship, command form, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, there's time for reflection songs. There's time for inward songs. I understand there's time for doctrinal songs. But I also believe, and one of the things we hit on here, is we are singing to the Lord. You are not an audience. You are not an audience. Who's the audience? Jesus. Jesus is the audience. And we're singing to him. And we're worshiping. So there should never be a time where you go, the worship wasn't good. I'm going to share this with my heart. Never, ever walk out and go, the worship wasn't good, because you're not the audience. It's only bad when it's not with love, right? So as you worship, bring joy. I told you last week, and you guys know me after a while now, my joy comes out as tears, and I hate it. I hate it. Like, even as I come up here, I go, God, I don't want to cry. Don't let me cry. I'm right there going, joy, 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 joy. See, you come out smiling. My joy comes out as tears. I go, oh, I hate it. This afternoon, about 2, I'm going to go, I hate that, God. Take it away. And he won't do it. I go, why won't you take that away? And he won't do it. So I go, okay, I'm going to cry. You're just going to have to be okay with that. And afterwards, you go, it's okay, Patrick. It's okay to cry. I don't cry about sad things. Okay. But like for me, sadness, I hold that in. Joy just comes out. I go, okay, God, I'm just going to go with it. Okay, moving on. So you guys are great. So anyway, joy. And why joy? In Matthew 13:44, Jesus is talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And I love this about the kingdom. Jesus is going, look, there's a guy, and it's a made-up story, it's a parable, and he's going along, and he comes across this field, and I always think treasure box, but I don't think it was like that. I think it was scattered over this big old field, and he starts finding pieces. And he starts to figure out there's a lot more here than I think there is. And he begins to notice it, that this is a tremendous treasure. And he goes and he finds out who owns it, and he goes, I'm going to buy this because I want to keep coming back, and I want to keep coming back, and I want to keep coming back to get the treasure. And he had joy because he said, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been looking for my whole life, and I found it, and it's worth everything to me. Why the kingdom? Because in the kingdom, it's not a place, it's a person. In the kingdom, you have a king. And that king is good, and that king has a purpose, and that king has a plan, and that king has a direction, and that king comes into your life and goes, now I get it. Now I have a reason. Now I have someone in my life I can always count on, someone who's going to protect me, someone I can pray to, I can talk to, someone who's going to lead me through life. He's going to move me away from wrong things. He's going to take me to the right thing. And there's a reason I'm here, and the things that I do count, and they do matter. I may not notice it all the time, but in the kingdom, I have purpose, and I have meaning. And when you find that, It should give you joy. It should give you joy. Every single day we wake up with that kind of joy because I have a king. For those of you that follow Jesus, I'm going to ask you a question. What would your life be like without him? What would your life be without the king in your life? It may be bad. You may have problems now, right? Jesus doesn't take away our problems always. But in the midst of them, he gives you hope. Take the hope away. If you don't have Jesus, well, how do you see life? What's going to happen? I don't know. Anything good come out of it? Don't know. Where are you going to go when you die? I don't know. Without Jesus, who do you talk to when you have a problem you can't solve? I don't know. I just come up with something. What do you base it on? I don't know. Just whatever I choose for that day. For a moment, walk in the shoes of someone who doesn't know Jesus if you do and go, what would you be like? And then when you realize that, realize that you have the joy of the kingdom in your life. Just let it out. You don't have to cry. You can smile. That's good for you, okay? Let me be the crier. You be the smiler, okay? Be filled with joy. Last one, we'll end up with this one, number four. Worship can become a celebration when it's filled with sincerity of heart. And again, if you ask me anything that would be said about Bridges, I would say sincerity is our number one thing. If you talk to people, what's your number one thing? I think it's sincerity of heart. Authenticity is the other word for it. It just means we are who we say we are, who we think we are, not trying to be anybody else, right? That's who Bridges is. And to celebrate God with a sincerity of heart. There's a tough passage in Isaiah about the people of God at the time. God says this about them, Isaiah 29, verse 13. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine, comes out of their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. And the next one, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Which means you learn it by doing over and over and over and over again, but it doesn't make any sense to you, it doesn't matter to you. You've lost the meaning. It's just a habit, right? He said, that's what happened to my people, but their hearts are far, far away from me. They're not there. That's something you never once said about you or about the church you attend. They just go through the motions. There's no real worship there. It's just this what habit. That is empty, and God is not pleased with that. In the new church, the first church that started, we look back as our model, right? That's where we go. What were they like? What did they do? So Acts chapter 2, 46 through 47 tells us that. It says this, each day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was something about this group of people that people said, I want to be part of that. And the reason they want to be part of that is because they had glad and sincere hearts as they met. Glad and sincere hearts. They praise God. Now the word sincere in Latin, it means without wax. Sin, if you know Spanish, S-I-N means without. Sere, it means to be without wax. You know, what does that mean? Well, here's the deal. In those days, they used to make vases and vases and jars and however you want to say it, out of clay. And if it had a crack in it at all, they would go, we can't really use this, so we're going to cover it with wax and hide the cracks so no one can see them. And then when we sell it, they think it's good. So the Greeks said, well, we don't like that idea, so sincerity means no wax. You get to see the cracks, and you get to see the brokenness, and you get to see who we really are. And he said, that kind of is a great description of what the church should be about. A group of people with cracks, with brokenness, with all kinds of stuff that may be a little bit wrong, and there's no wax there. It's just who they are. And God is good with that, because you know what? God sees us without the wax anyway. And he says, I'm okay with that. I love you just the way you are. And that's beautiful, and that's where worship comes out of. Sincerity of heart. You know who I am, God. And you love me anyway, and you accept me anyway, and I want to worship you. Jesus said there's one thing that matters. There's only one thing that matters when you look at the commands of God, when you look at everything. If you boil it down to one thing, this is what matters. Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, this is the one thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love him that way. If you don't get anything else right, love him that way. And if you don't get anything right about worship, get this. It's an expression of that love for God. I love you, God. And I look back over my life, God, with gratitude about the things you've done, and I love you for those things. And God, I reflect back not only what you've done, but who you are and your holiness and your glory. And I reflect on your majesty and your grace and your compassion. I see your creation. I marvel at you. And I just reflect on you and I worship you from that. And God, I want to worship you from a sincere heart as best I can. And I want to worship you with joy. That's what it's about. I love you, God, in all those ways. It may flow out of you in different ways. That's okay. Celebration looks differently for everybody. We're going to eat next week. We're going to sing in just a moment. We're going to take communion in just a moment. We're going to pray. We're going to do these forms of worship. It's all a celebration of Jesus Christ who gave his life because he loves us. And out of that love, he just says, I want you to love me back. That's all it is. That's what worship is. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you made us all different. In your sovereignty and in your creativity, and you gave us all different hearts, and the only thing you ask us to do is fulfill that particular heart with love for you and gratitude for you. And so we do that. We worship you. Even in this moment of prayer, remind us of how good you are through your word that we just read, through the events of our lives, through the events of other people's lives. Speak to us through this time of communion, which is a form of worship, where we stand and we walk and we eat and we drink, and we do it with a heart that's given over to you. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I always want to give you a chance to respond if you don't know Jesus and you are looking for that king in your life. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to just kind of explain, this is my relationship with Jesus, this is how I found him, this is who he is, what scripture says, and how you walk with him. I'd love to talk to you about that so that you can worship the God who made you. For communion today, we're going to use a verse I don't think I've ever used before. Habakkuk 3:18 says this, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." That's what the table is about, right? Salvation. It's a reminder that Jesus saves. His name means God saves. Yahweh saves. That's what Jesus means. So we come up to take the bread, which represents the body of Jesus, and we drink the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus. Come up and just in your own heart, rejoice in that. Your eternity is set with Jesus. Your life is set with Jesus. He is your Savior. He's your Savior and your Lord. Take joy in the God of your salvation. I'm going to pray. You guys know the drill. You know where it is on either side and up front. And it, don't make it a habit. Don't make it a rote thing. You just do it every day or every week because you have to or because we do it. Do it as a form of worship. And that is determined by the heart in which you do it with. Let's pray. Father God, the table is before us. You have invited us to your table to share in this meal together, this bread and this juice that you established first at the Passover when you saved the lives of so many, and then at the real meaning that night before Jesus was crucified, when Jesus changed it into a celebration of what he was about to do, not just the cross, but the empty tomb and the ascension and everything that comes afterwards. Father, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We celebrate that today and rejoice in Jesus. And pray this in his name. Amen. Share communion together.